If you haven't met, I'm on the staff team at Christchurch Mayfair. And I'm sad to say, apparently I have a listening problem. So there's a bit of a family joke at the moment going on that I just find it in the evenings impossible the last few months to concentrate on any TV. So we're watching TV programmes, say watching Poldark or whatever, and I just find it incredibly hard to follow the plot. Might be because it's actually quite boring. But I find that the plot's going on, and then I just find, just for kind of 5-10 minutes, I just drift off. I'm looking at the TV, but my eyes have gone blank, and I'm thinking about, who am I going to pick my fantasy football team this week? And then all of a sudden, Poldark's decided to join the army and leave his wife. And I'm like, Luke's my wife, what's going on? And she takes a deep breath, explains to me the last 15 minutes of the story. But sometimes it can be a little bit more annoying, a bit more serious. So imagine a hypothetical situation where my wife and I are discussing our family finances. And the conversation goes something like this. After dinner, my wife's telling me that obviously because she's now on maternity leave, our income's a little bit lower. So some of our standing orders coming out of the NatWest account needs to be changed. And the Barclays account, something needs to happen with that. And all of a sudden, just kind of imperceptibly, subconsciously, I just start to slowly drift away. And I'm thinking, I really need to do my expenses form before Saturday, because on Saturday we're going to drive to those friends' house and need money for petrol. And England playing South Africa on Saturday. I wonder if they have Sky Sports. And then my wife says, so what do you think? What do you think we should do? I'm trying to, in my subconscious, what was she talking about? I've had no idea. She says, you weren't listening, were you? Not really. And then I realise, actually, man, that was quite rude, wasn't it? It was quite rude. She's just cooked me dinner, and she just spent all day looking after my child, cleaning her nappy, rocking her to sleep when she's crying, and I just basically drifted off. It's actually pretty rude. She says to me, you've got a listening problem. And I said, take me to the doctors, and they'll tell you my hearing is impeccable. She says, you haven't got a hearing problem, you've got a listening problem. Ouch. She's right. And I have to say, darling, I'm really sorry. Okay, I'm listening now. I'm going to take action. So we talk it through, and then I say, okay, darling, you go take a bath. I'll do the online banking and do it. You know, okay. We'll change it around. A hypothetical situation, of course. But I ask, what's your listening like? And I ask because Jesus Christ is really concerned with what our listening is like. Not just do you hear him, but how do you listen to him? Are you putting his words into practice in your life? So this section in Luke is all about that. So you hear last week, Jesus told a parable. And he said there are only four types of reaction when people hear him. Four types of reaction. And only one of those four types of people actually listens to him and lasts as a believer. Only one actually puts his words into practice. And in today's passage, basically Jesus is making a similar point. He's showing us just how important he thinks it is how we listen to him. Are we making an extended appeal? So he's really concerned. How do you listen to him? And it matters. We learn today, it really matters how we listen to Jesus. Because the stakes are high. The stakes are high. And when judgment day comes, actually everything about how we've listened will be revealed. Everything will be exposed. So Jesus warns us today, do consider very carefully how you listen. So what's your listening like? So the first point I want us to see today is that Jesus' words need action. Jesus' words need action. If you look at me please at verse 16, Jesus tells a story. He says, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. Seems rather obvious, isn't it? No one does that. You don't light a lamp at home when it's dark and then put a blackout curtain over it. That's not what you do with light. You put it up on the light stand so that everyone can see it on the table, something like that. And Jesus is saying he is like light. The Bible consistently uses that imagery. He's like light and his words are like light. Two reasons why. Firstly, light illuminates. It illuminates. So, I don't know, on Saturday, did you see the fireworks? You know, a flash of fireworks comes along. And if instead of looking up at the firework explode, if you just look to your left and right, you suddenly just see everyone's faces from darkness suddenly go, ooh, ah. So light illuminates what's going on around us. Light shows things how it is. And Jesus does that. Actually, his words shows where our hearts are really at, how we respond to him, reveal where we really are, spiritually speaking. So his word illuminates. And secondly, it guides. Light guides. You know, in a blackout, you need a torch to see where you're going. And Jesus' word guides. So Jesus' words show us how to live. He guides us best how to, say, conduct a relationship, how to do business, how to use our money. Jesus' word guides. And so, Jesus' big desire for us is verse 21. If you have a look at the end of verse 21. So my mother and brothers, those who hear God's words, and put it into practice. So if Jesus is the light, what are you going to do with it? So it'd be odd to have friends coming over for dinner tonight, it's dark at 7 o'clock when you get home, and to light the have the lamp on and then put a curtain over it. No one does that. That's just not what you do with light. In the same way with Jesus' teaching, light is there to be put on a stand for everyone to see. It's there to be put into action. So Jesus' words, hearing them and not doing anything with them, is actually just as odd as putting a blanket over a lamp or putting a candle under a bed. That's just not what you do with it. But listening to him, putting the lamp on the stand. So that's the first thing. Jesus' words, they need action. And secondly, it's important because how we listen determines our destiny. Of course, on one hand, you might be asking, well, why? Why Jesus? Why do I so need to listen to his claim to be light? There are lots of people who would claim to offer guidance and illumination. Of course, on one hand, love your neighbour. I agree with that. It's a good principle. What about some of the bits I don't really agree with? I'm not really sure morally I'm there with that. Why do I have to take it all so seriously? Can't I keep it at arm's length a bit? Well, actually, Jesus doesn't want to do that because of one very honest reason. He's very honest about that one day there will be a judgment. Jesus is very honest about that. And Jesus' teaching is, so live your life trusting in him, trusting by faith that Jesus Christ, by dying on the cross, has saved you from your sins, and live with him, thanking him as your saviour and your master. That's what Jesus' teaching is. And that judgment, how we've listened to him, will be exposed. So when I was at school, I was in the school cadets, CCF, as in the army, and Corporal Dixon, and one evening I was taking them all on an overnight manoeuvre. And we went out to this army training camp. It was night when we got there, pitch black, you know, no towns nearby, absolute middle of nowhere. And our section was in competition with all the other sections to go on this reconnaissance mission. We had to kind of sneak up to these army guys, listen to their conversation, and then report back, and we weren't allowed to get caught. And so we'd been out about an hour, and I was leading these dozen or so first years, trying not to let them walk into a tree or get lost, which is terrifying. You know, we were very sneaky, you know, bush to bush, camoed up, everything like that. And all of a sudden, right in front of us, like a firework went off from the ground and exploded in light and hung in the air. So it's a flare. It's the first time I'd ever seen a flare in real life. And all of a sudden, this pitch black night, it's like a summer's day. It's like noon, a summer's day. And all of a sudden, our sneaking up was basically, we're in the middle of an open field and everyone could see us. But light suddenly exposed what was going on. What was going on. And that's what Jesus says, actually, his return in judgment will do. It will bring everything in our lives out in the open. It will expose everything. So verse 17, if you have a look for me, please. Verse 17. There's nothing hidden that won't be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. So nothing in our lives hidden that won't be brought out into the open. The papers told me last week that Prince Harry has a new girlfriend. Did you know that? Prince Harry, new girlfriend, and apparently she's a celebrity. To be honest, a week ago I'd never heard of her, but I'd never seen any of her TV shows. But now, a week later, I know quite a lot about her. So the following day, the Times 2 supplement was a big, full-on picture spread of her with the very honest headline, "All You Want to Know, (secretly), about Meghan Markle." Really, it seems like a very nice woman, actress in a TV show about lawyers called Suits. She's actually known for quite a lot of philanthropy. So she campaigned in Africa for clean water, for women's rights. She's campaigned against human slavery, human trafficking. But not all the reports were so positive. Same day, another certain tabloid ran with a lead article, probably more honest than we'd like to admit, which picked apart in pictures every single steamy love scene she'd ever been in a TV show, in pictures for everyone to look at. All the newspapers, regardless of their broadsheet or tabloids, all of them considered, reviewed her previous marriage and why it had broken down. So a week ago, what was she? A C-list Canadian celebrity. Now, everything about her is out in the open to Google. Obviously, tonight's the night of the presidential election. I guess one thing the two candidates have in common is that the past 6 months have been quite revealing about them, quite revealing about their lives, really for the whole world to see. What was thought to be done years ago in private is exposed for the whole world to know. Dubious emails? In private on my computer? No. Quote, locker room banter with the lads. Hidden away 10 years ago backstage in a TV studio. And that was... Everything's been brought out into the open. That just made me consider, what if I started dating a royal or ran for president? Or both. What if there was that level of scrutiny applied to me? If the papers, the tabloids, the broadsheets suddenly got interested in me. Now, I hope on the one hand there'd be some journalists who could look at me and find something kind to write about and look at some good. But I think the day that newspapers came out with it, I would dread to think what pictures from my freshers week on Facebook would they dredge up? What about my rugby initiation? Those random photos, I'm sure they find them somewhere online. Or what if my phone and my laptop were taken by the government to read all my emails, all my previous text messages, and my search history? What if all my slightly thoughtless, cuff-of-the-moment locker room banter from 10 years ago suddenly exposed for the whole world to see? What if everything was laid bare? And when Jesus returns, everything in our lives will be revealed. Everything will be exposed. Nothing done in a corner will be left in private. We will give an account. And when we give an account, here is what we'll be asked. What do you make of Jesus' words? Have you put them into practice? So verse 18, he says, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have even what they think they have will be taken from them. Do you see how we listen determines our destiny? So life's more like a plane journey than a car ride. You're driving in a car and you can basically change the direction you're going in as often as you like or as often as your sat nav tells you to. But in a plane, once you're on board that plane, you've got on at Gatwick, you know that your destination will be JFK. Halfway through, you can't do anything about it. You're going to turn back. So be very careful to make sure that now you're heading in the right direction. So I guess on one hand, we might not be all that fussed about listening to Jesus right now. On one hand, Jesus will change things around in my life, and who likes change? Seems like, to be honest, he might stop me doing what I want. It means I will use my money differently, my time differently, presumably my relationships will look different and people say I've got all religious. But right now, at this very moment in time, this lunchtime, we are setting our direction of travel. How we respond to God's word now, today, actually we are setting our destiny for eternity. And Jesus is really honest with us, very honest. There are only two destinations. Two destinations. So verse 18, one of them is whoever has listened will be given more. That's whoever has listened to Jesus will be given more. He's talking about heaven, paradise. It would be better than anything, the best gift you ever experienced here in this life. will be given more. At verse 19 to 21, the end bit, this kind of end story, is talking about how much will be given, where Jesus' mothers and brothers are kind of waiting for him to finish his sermon, presumably wanting to go home. And he just makes the point before he leaves. He says, actually, my brothers and sisters, my personal family, are those who hear God's word and put them into practice. In eternity, we'll know God the Father personally forever. Jesus Christ as a brother, as family. And that's a wonderful destination to be heading to. But actually, the other destination is pretty bleak. Verse 18, whoever does not have even what they think they have will be taken from them. So actually, if you're not listening to Jesus, if Jesus is being held at arm's length, that's the destination you'll be travelling to. So eternity will be the destination of that journey. Far from God, left with nothing. Actually, none of his good gifts, far away. So how we listen does determine our destiny. It does matter. So thirdly and lastly, can I say consider? How are you listening? So the stakes are very high. We're talking about eternity. And so that's why Jesus says in verse 18, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. So I find the unnerving thing about this is it's in the present tense. How do you listen? I find it much easier to say, I've listened in the past, church attendance, look at the Bible study group, look at the thing I've done in the past. And Jesus, today, are you listening? So can I ask you to consider that now? You know, like at work, once a year, you might have an annual review of how things are going at work, how you're doing. Obviously, a healthy thing. Because have a spiritual annual review. Review your listening to Jesus. Are you putting it into practice? So as we close, I've got three questions for us. Three questions for your annual spiritual review. So first question, have you got time for Jesus? Or are you distracted? We always think we're busy, don't we? Obviously, I'm at a church and there are some students there. Some of the students tell me, oh man, I'm so busy at the moment. And obviously, anyone who's got a job says, you're really not. You will never have as much time on your hands until you retire. I thought I was busy 2 years ago. I recently had my first child and now I feel quite busy. And I'm sure in 10 years' time, when I've got some proper responsibility at work, I'll feel it's busy now. Obviously, the point is, we always think we're busy, but we make time for what's important. So I've got this friend from university, or a WhatsApp group, or a group messaging from all my mates at university living in London. And one friend who was always the one who'd always be texting this time of the week saying, hey, who wants to do something Friday evening? Let's go to the pub. Should we get away together this weekend? There's a pub quiz coming up next week. Do you want to go and do it? And normally, the silence is fairly deafening in response. It was normally, oh, sorry, mate, can't do it this weekend, a bit busy, or got the plans, you're really flat out of work, kind of tired out at the moment. And then 2 years ago, age 25, he was diagnosed with cancer. We all had time for him. It's amazing, actually, to see how loving people's responses was. All of a sudden, people dropped stuff, and yeah, we made time for him. Mate, do you want to come over after work Thursday night tonight? Do you want to hang out at the pub on Friday? Yeah, the pub quiz sounds great, mate. See you there. Come and stay over this weekend. So the point is, we have time for what's important. Of course, how we respond to Jesus will decide our eternal destiny. First question, have you got time for Jesus? Second question, are you thinking about Jesus? Or is it read and move on? Now, if you talk to an anthropologist, I'm sure they'll tell you, we live in a time of unprecedented information overload. I don't know about you, when you walk back to work, I probably get my phone out. The phones are great gifts, I love them. But of course, we've got loads to do. Check my social media, scroll through, check my emails, what's come in, reply to the urgent, delete the useless, check the news headlines, what's the latest in the US election, read an opinion piece in the paper. So much information coming at us. All you can do is read and forget, scroll through and move on. But Jesus' words are very, very different. So when we come to hear his words, we've got to have a different mindset to the paper or social media. So can I ask, are you taking time to think about it, to chew on it, to meditate, to ponder Jesus' words. Third question. Last question as we close. In the last year, what's changed because of Jesus in your life? What have you changed because of Jesus in the last 12 months? Actually, someone asked me this a few months ago. It was a quite simple question. When was the last time you read something in the Bible and changed what you did? I found it a kind of surprisingly uncomfortable question. I felt that the answer should be very quick. It's surprisingly tricky. Now, of course, sometimes putting Jesus' words into practice means I go from position X to position Y. So I used to think it was basically fine for me to get drunk, so long as I didn't hit anyone or sleep around too much. I read the Bible, thought, oh hey, there's more to it, I can see that from Jesus' words. And so I moved to a different position. Stop doing that. Sometimes it's quite clear we changed. I can remember I did it then. I admit, changed my decision. But most often, I find I'm quite a slow learner. So it takes time, it's more like the tide, it's quite gradual. So, for example, I never decided it was an unwise thing for me to drink alcohol every single night. I can't think for a moment I did that. But over time, I've been convinced, for me, actually, the danger of just becoming dependent on it or even getting addicted to it in the long term makes it unwise for me to do that. But I can't remember making a decision. Yet, actually, I stop and think about it. Over the last year, 2 years, I have actually changed my behaviour on that because of Jesus' words. So, I don't know, for you, what is it in the last 12 months for you? Changed because of Jesus. So we're going to close there. But I have to ask you, are you a good listener? What do you think? A light needs to be put in a stand, not hidden under a cover. And Jesus' words need action. And how we listen decides our destiny. And actually the stakes are very high. There are only two destinations. So what direction are you travelling in? Consider carefully. How do you listen? Shall I close in prayer? Lord Jesus, thank you for these words. Thank you for your honesty. We pray that we would consider carefully how we listen to you. We know there are many good distractions and things that will keep us from thinking or acting. But please, may we travel in that right direction of putting your words into practice in our lives. Amen. Amen.